Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. Jesus said to his disciples, "Amen, amen, I say to you, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will become joy. When a woman is in labor, she is in anguish because her hour has arrived. But when she has given birth to a child, she no longer remembers the pain because of her joy that a child has been born into the world. So you also are now in anguish, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice. And no one will take your joy away from you. On that day, you will not question me about anything. Amen, amen, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today's Gospel, the day after the Ascension, helps us to enter into the mystery of the Ascension, even though he was describing about the mystery of his crucifixion and resurrection. "I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will be able to take your joy away from you." It's when we seek the Lord's face and allow him to look on us forever. But let's go back into Holy Thursday to enter into this mystery evermore. Jesus gives an analogy that I hope is very clear to you about the transition from weeping and mourning to joy, from grief to happiness. It's the analogy of a woman in labor. No woman ever likes labor. No one ever looks forward to it. But the truth that Jesus was describing about childbirth is true both for women as well as for the spiritual analog. When she's given birth to a child, she no longer remembers the pain because of her joy that a child has been born into the world. It's worth it. You can dread it beforehand, but afterward you're filled with joy. The joy overwhelms the memory of the pain. Jesus himself would go through the childbirth of crucifixion. It was something that made him sweat blood in hematidrosis in the agony of the garden. It was not something that he was looking forward to, but he had a taste ahead of time of the joy that would come on the opposite side, and that's why he was willing to go through it. And he wants us to enter into his own childbirth, for us to associate ourselves with the Lord at that stage. And once we do, Jesus says something astonishing will happen. Not only will we be filled with joy, but he says, "On that day, you will not question me about anything." What does that mean? It means on that day, you will have the answer to basically every question you would want to ask. Why am I going through this? I've risen from the dead, from the worst possible evil, the worst possible physical and frankly moral suffering, at the evil that led to his crucifixion, at the evil of those who wouldn't even receive the gift of his redemption after he'd gone through so much. From the worst evil, he brought about the greatest good. And this is what has been able to inspire so many martyrs over the course of the centuries. But it is crucial for us to enter into the Lord's childbirth. St. Ambrose once gave the early church one way to do it. He said, "There's only one woman who's a mother of Jesus Christ according to the flesh, but all of us are supposed to be mothers of Christ spiritually." What he meant is, we're called to conceive the Word of God inside of us. That Word that we've conceived is supposed to impregnate us. It's supposed to become part of us. It's supposed to grow within us and become so big that we can't hold that word within any longer. As the Spanish and the Portuguese like to say, we have to give it to the light. We have to give birth. we just need to erupt, because like St. Paul, woe are we if we don't preach that gospel. Woe to me if I don't get to the hospital as soon as possible in order to give birth, because the contractions pushing the word of God out are so severe. It's who we are. Entering in and having the courage to enter in to the Lord's own childbirth. This is the background to appreciate what Jesus said to St. Paul today and what St. Paul himself did. St. Paul was in Corinth. He had already, as was his habit, gone to the synagogue, and for the most part the Jews didn't want to have anything to do with him. So they booted him and he said he was going to the Gentiles. But he needed encouragement. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Don't be afraid." Curious words for St. Paul. St. Paul had already suffered so much for the faith. We could list all his sufferings that he'd already endured. He would list it in his second letter to the Corinthians. Don't be afraid. Go on speaking. Don't be silent. I'm with you. No one will attack or harm you, for I have many people in this city. Would that the Lord be able to say that in every city. But don't be afraid. Go on speaking. Why did he need the Lord's encouragement here? Yesterday, because of the solemnity of the Ascension, we didn't have the reading of St. Paul in Athens from the Areopagus. St. Paul went to basically the great public university of the time, where all the philosophers would come and talk about the most important truths, as well as politics and everything else. It was where all the great minds convened. And Paul, with great zeal, wanted to bring them the gospel. And on a human level, it's the greatest rhetoric he ever displayed. Really shows what Paul had within him in terms of natural ability. Starting from the statue of the unknown God, he was going to make that unknown God revealed. Beautiful discourse on creation and how it comes into redemption. But at the very end of the passage, what do we see? They all kind of blew him off and took a rain check on the immediacy of the gospel. We'll hear you about this another time. He was only able to make a few converts. So he then hopped on the little boat that would take him across the isthmus to Corinth. And a dramatic change happened. Change for which the Lord needed to strengthen him. He began to recognize that when he had gone to Athens, what didn't he preach? He didn't preach about Christ's sufferings. He didn't preach to the Greeks at all about what they would need to do in order to enter into redemption. Why not? Because as St. Paul would write in his first letter to the Corinthians, he knew that the cross was a scandal for the Jews and utter foolishness for the Gentiles. He didn't think they'd be able to grasp it at all. They would run him totally out of town and not even give him a rain check. So he didn't go on speaking about the cross at all. When he would write in his first chapter of his first letter to the Corinthians that when I came among you, I knew nothing except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he began boldly to preach that even though the cross is a scandal to the Jews, because how could the Messiah who was supposed to kick out the Romans be crucified by this occupying power? How could the one who was supposed to reestablish the kingdom of David be so brutally massacred in the eyes of all? It's a total scandal. And foolishness for the Gentiles. Why? Because the greatest wisdom of all was the wisdom of how to live well and die well. And Jesus showed what a fool he was, that he couldn't even keep himself from being ignominiously publicly executed. Total folly. But St. Paul would say, for us who have been called, the power and the wisdom of God, the power of God's forbearing love, the wisdom of the way to be able to bring everybody into that great mystery and to show us how to live well in this world, how to die well because we can die with and like Christ, and therefore how to live forever. That's what St. Paul began to preach there, and that's when his preaching began to take off, and the Corinthians needed it. Jesus did have many people in the city, but there were many others who weren't there. We see it. They were living incestuously. It was the promiscuity capital of the ancient world. There were all types of apologetic issues that St. Paul would confront. But St. Paul heeded the Lord's word, and he went on preaching. He wasn't silent. He was eventually able to write that he had been crucified with Christ. It was no longer even he who was living, but Christ was living in him. That he had recognized that the Son of God loved him and gave his life up for him, and St. Paul was going to enter into that childbirth in his own flesh. He would have no more questions because the resurrection was the answer. And he would be able to say, for me to live is Christ. And that's how he lived. And so it comes to us. The Lord needs to tell us, don't be afraid. Go on speaking. Don't be silent. I'm with you. To speak, not only with our words, but actually to speak by the way that we live. Christ has died, that our sufferings here in this world have a meaning, that they're not the definitive end. Yes, we mourn. Yes, we grieve while the world rejoices. Yes, when so many issues are happening socially that people are celebrating sins as if they're actual sacraments, we grieve while they rejoice. But that our grief is going to be turned into an exclamation point with a smile. That's what the Lord is saying. And in order to carry out this mystery, how much we need the Holy Spirit. You know, we pray to the Holy Spirit in the Veni Creator throughout this decennarium. Tu septi formis munere, you who come with your sevenfold work. And part of that work of the Holy Spirit is to make us wise so that we can see everything in God's eyes, the way they really are, and also courage, so that we can enter into the childbirth, even though none of us is excited about the pain, because we know what will happen on the other side. The gift of courage. We pray, virtute firmans perpeti, strengthening us with your perpetual power, the power of the Holy Spirit, so that we can do exactly what St. Paul does. And the greatest way to enter into this mystery by the power of the Holy Spirit is each day at Mass, where we take our fears, we take our sufferings, we take the struggles we're going through, we take the crucifixion that the Lord wants to effectuate in us, so that we can be crucified with Him so as He can live. We take all of that here, place it to the Lord, and experience a foretaste of the eternal joy. Jesus promised during the Last Supper, He would go away, but then He would come back, and all our sorrows would be turned to joy, that we would see Him again. As we get ready to behold the Lamb of God who takes away all the sins of the world, the Lamb looking as if He has been slain, triumphing over even death. As we prepare to behold Him, let us ask Him for the grace never to take our eyes off of Him who never takes His eyes off of us. To recognize that we have no reason to be afraid, for He has many people. And among the greatest He has are the saints who are now interceding for us to live these words today. Praise be Jesus Christ. Amen.